Yo, how's it going? It's Monday, February 11th, 2013. Welcome to the ninth episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media Podcast. This is also episode one of Social Echoes 3M, much more mobile. If you're ready to go, let's get rolling.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, Patrick, how's it going, man?
It's going really well. Looking out a window, lovely, downtown Louisville, sunny day. Nowhere near like the Northeast with you guys, but
It's the exact opposite. When I look at my window, I see melting snowbanks and just a lot of fog today. Today is just very foggy, and it's just dreary. It's a Monday, is basically what it is. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
But let's get right into the show. It's the first edition of Much More Mobile, a new regular feature from Mobile Chat and Social Echoes. I'm John Steyert, storyteller and social media Swiss Army knife for True Voice Media in Philadelphia. My partner on the other side of the conversation is
Patrick Goodman, moderator of Mobile Chat, a weekly tweet chat, everything about mobile development, mobile marketers and such, on Wednesdays from 9 till 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And also the product guy at a enterprise software company in Louisville called Ready App, R-E-D-E App.
Yeah, Mobile Chat is definitely an awesome intro for those of you that are wanting to know what's new in mobile each week. Patrick was the second guest of Social Echoes and has been a big supporter of myself and True Voice Media and Social Echoes, and we're thrilled to be teaming up to talk much more mobile in the upcoming weeks and months. So, Patrick, if you're ready to get rolling, first question I want to ask you is about the mobile chat that you had last week with VSnap and mm-hmm. the community manager, Trish Fontanella. What were some of the key points that you took away from the tweet chat?
Yeah, for me, one, VSnap has done a really amazing job. One, as simply a video app. There's been a lot of news in the past few weeks with, Vine app coming out and lots of people experimenting with video and mobile. Obviously a Vine video is, 6 brief seconds, which is not bad. I mean, I've seen everything from snow videos in the Northeast to people doing, videos of making coffee and going shopping. VSnap has a little different strategy when it comes to, combining video and mobile, which is to allow 60 seconds so that there's a longer, if you will, human face. And so the community manager at VSnap is Trish, who's just brilliant for, their brand right now, who does, I think she had mentioned she's done over 4,000 of these 60-second, video snippets she sent to every follower who's ever followed at VSnap on Twitter. She sent me, my half birthday was yesterday. She's serious. So she sent me a VSnap. So really, I would say, I love they're doing a video, and we'll discuss that more, but just at the initial level of how helpful, crucial it is for a new young company, engaging on the various social channels and putting a human face behind it, I applaud them immensely for what they're doing. So that'll be the first thing about social brand engagement. Secondly, when it comes to, video and mobile, I think it's just simply an extension of what we have seen the last few years with Instagram. All people have said that basically Vine is a 6-second Instagram, which may be in many ways true. But it has to come down to really where, in many ways, mobile and smart devices in general are built for, the masses and consumption. So, even on Instagram, you don't see typically, professional photographers posting their photos and with their, watermarks. I've seen a few. But it's typically for the average, user to take a picture and throw on a funny filter and then post and share with their friends. That's exactly what video does. It's simply extending what the camera app was and now with video. And, Trish even mentioned that as well on the chat about for VSnap. I mean, that's their hope and idea behind, a brand when it comes to business. So where Vine may be more and better suited for consumer 6 seconds, what VSnap is hoping is to help to create more of a social face on a business brand. So obviously they're selling and positioning the app for a larger brand business who might have a branded, say, avatar on the various social channels to let the CEO or let a particular, say, from an advertising place, say a sports or celebrity figure, to take a 60-second, you know, V-snap that can be shared on multiple channels, you know, socially. I mean, there really is a crucial element of that. So, big fan, and, you know, they were one of just a tremendous guest for us and how they engage with all the other participants who are part of mobile chat.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to kind of jump in to mobile chat on Wednesday. And I wasn't able to participate for the full time just based on other time constraints. But, you know, Trish reached out to me later on in the week and actually sent me a V-snap. And that was the first I had ever actually encountered it. And I thought it was brilliant because it's you have that 60-second deadline and you basically are forced to kind of, you know, streamline your message. And I'm someone who probably would tend to ramble on something like that. So it kind of gives me an idea of, all right, so you better have your stuff together and just make sure that, like, whatever you're going to communicate to her is going to be just as much as what she was asking you or telling you about the product. And it got me very excited for what VSnap can be. And I think that a lot of other brands, you're familiar with Warby Parker, I'm sure, mm-hmm. the eyeglass company. Now, I don't wear glasses. I did when I was a young child, but it didn't help. So a lot of my friends that are in New York City, they are huge Warby Parker fans. And I've had a couple different folks that have sent them messages on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And a lot of times they've responded by sending back a video via YouTube. And I'm thinking that's kind of like the same idea as to what VSnap is doing. Mm-hmm. And there's such a great community aspect to that and kind of, you know, absolutely like you were talking about humanizing it and making it real, really personal and using their name. And it's not kind of like, it's not like a salesy technique. I'm kind of just repeating their name and saying like, well, Patrick, it's nice to meet you, Patrick. And things, mm-hmm. but it's just kind of reiterating that they're actually folks with real, you know, flesh and blood on the other side that are using and trying to learn the tools as they're going along, just like you are.
Mm-hmm. It's true. What's really interesting is, you know, there's lots of discussion, and I'm not an expert in this field, but I hear where there, you know, how to use social media well from a B2C standpoint. And so a lot of people have camped out on Facebook to do the consumer play, maybe have lived on LinkedIn, and kind of Twitter's kind of a quasi between both consumer and, you know, business professional on Twitter. You know, I like to say it's more about P2P, and I'm the first to say this, but it's person to person. So think about, you know, brands who reach out to you and talk to you. All they've done is, you know, they're connecting a human to human. And anytime a brand does that or is funny or humorous or very timely in what they do, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, on a mobile or a desktop or even, you know, walking down the street. I mean, there's a reason we remember interactions and conversations we have with people. Typically, if you had to ask a person, you know, what were some of the taglines from the Super Bowl, from all the commercials that went out, right? Very few people will remember those. They'll remember the one, the really bad ones, which I'll leave off this, but they'll remember the ones who really responded in real time and on social channels, that being Oreo. Or I think one of the detergents, Tide or whatever, jumped in as well.
Tide had one. My favorite one was Audi, because the Superdome is owned by, or yeah. The naming rights at least are owned by Mercedes-Benz, and Audi, who has, you know, really become this big champion of the top it car, the luxury car that is in such in vogue right now, they responded on Twitter, and then it was Instagrammed by my network by CC Chapman. That's how I saw it. It just kind of read, "We're sending some LED lights to the Superdome during the blackout," which I thought was brilliant. And that quick responsiveness, that's how you nail it.
It is, and it's funny, and we laugh, but that's the way we build connections with people. You know, funny story, true story. From so last night, I'm watching TV, and the Grammys are on, and the Walking Dead had taken this like 2 month, you know, holiday break, so it was on last night, and then Downton Abbey. So my Twitter feed was flying with tweets from all different things, and so I saw a tweet this morning from a good friend of mine, and she had mentioned, "Hey, I missed the Grammys last night. You know, where's a good recap?" My response was, go to #Grammys, #Grammys 2013. There's your recap. Because when it comes to mobile, it's really hard for me anymore to watch or participate in a major sporting event or a show like the Grammys or even, you know, shows on, you know, some of the cable networks that I really enjoy watching. Because I'm connecting with people. It doesn't matter if, even though this you know, the screen in front of me is television, which is static. I can't really speak back to that. There's a whole network of people that I can communicate and be connected with during an event. And really the only way that happens is mobile, because I'm not dragging my desktop into my, you know, recliner. You know, I have my, you know, mobile device sitting in front of me, and I'm engaging in conversation with people. And I really think that's why some of the major brands who had real-time responses in marketing at the Super Bowl, and we'll see this becoming more. There's already, you know, probably hundreds of blog posts from social media thinkers about, you know, ways in which to you know, repeat what Oreo did. Maybe not the same way, but just the reality of always being on and connected. Good, bad, it is what it is, but that's where a lot of people are living these days.
So when talking about real-time responses, I mean, really probably what you're talking about most is personal. So VSnap is 60 seconds and Vine is 6 seconds with a bit more editing involved. Trish actually did talk about the difference between the two of those apps, how VSnap is more personal, more responsive, and Vine is more GIF-like and kind of ready to rock and roll for social. Do you agree, or do you think that something like VSnap can be just as social as Vine?
I think at its core it has to be, I would say this, Vine is it's easier to retweet Vine or to plus a Vine or, you know, to share that way when it comes to, it's a 6 little second, you know, snippet. Someone goes out during the snowstorm and takes a 6 second Vine video of like how fast the, you know, the snow accumulated. That's quickly reshareable. And so that's social in a, you know, one level. But where VSnap is getting is more personal. And I think that's they're two different, you know, animals. We're not comparing apples and oranges. Where at least the way Trish has been, you know, responsive online and the way VSnap is positioning their product, they are wanting to be more specific one-to-one, which, again, I get it. It's not as easy to scale. But, again, I mean, what social relationship is easy to scale in the first place, right?
Yeah, and I agree because I just think that Vine is so, you know, it's there and it's gone. And I think that's a lot of the stuff that becomes so big in the social sphere, and you can just throw it out because it's so small. And something that is a bit longer content, I mean, it's tough to kind of call a 60 second video long form content, but I guess when you're comparing it to a 6 second video, it is long form content.
It's a novel.
it's incredible, but I'm eager to see, you know, what happens, because I have an Android and I'm not able to actually access Vine all the time. I'm only able to see it when somebody else throws up a Vine video from their iPhone or iPad. But I think one of the best examples of Vine usage for business thus far was Gary Vaynerchuk's. He just put up, you know, Gary likes to play with all the different tools that come out. And I'm not even sure if he's an investor in Vine or whatever. He has money everywhere, but he used it for a very, very, very quick wine review. So he actually showed the bottle, took a sip, smelled it, actually like listed out some of the ingredients that he had, and it was done. And if you think about it, and like that's such a fast and easy way to understand what your product is. And like I was reading something from Jay Baer this afternoon. And he was just talking about, it's kind of in relation to his new book, Utility. And he was talking about, if you can't explain what your product is in a video, you're going to lose, because video is not optional anymore. Because folks are just, it's the easiest way to consume. It's the most intuitive form of content. And I think kind of to the next point that I wanted to kind of touch on, we're getting to the point where mobile and video are kind of, video is kind of matching, and mobile speeds are matching where they can kind of coexist together, and that's what you're seeing with VSnap and Vine. And maybe 13 is now the year where we'll see more and more of this. So just kind of to sum it up, is this the beginning of greater utility and shareability for mobile video?
I think it's still early. 2013 might be a bit early for that, and it has to do really with the network speed. So, for example, if I'm at a sporting event and there's lots of people on those carriers, you know, your speed can be quickly diminished or not even responsive at all. So, you know, being on an LTE network is making speeds a whole lot faster. I think that's why video adoption is happening quicker. So early, I would say this is almost like, you know, circa 2008 or so with Twitter, where, you know, adoption when it comes to video. But just to be honest, so on this past Friday night, I had a daddy-daughter dance with my 9-year-old. And so I posted a photo, you know, taking out my gal for a date with daddy. And but while I'm there, I'm taking a video of that as well, because I want to share that back with my wife, who's at home with our other kids. Well, but I'm taking a video of us dancing, right? And so that kind of – and I can do that and it can be delivered to her quickly because of the carrier speeds. I mean, that's kind of been the limiting thing for – networks in general. I mean, if you could imagine, if you're on a older version, you know, mobile device, and you're on 3G, trying to stream Netflix with a really bad signal is just painful. You know, it's skip, sputter, stumble, step, and catch, you know, two or three lines. But now with, you know, the quick video aspect of that, I think it'll be fun. It really will. I mean, it's, I would ask somebody, even when it comes to photography, you know, the average person is not carrying around a small camera anymore. I mean, even when we go to an event or whatever, and my wife asks, "Do we take the, you know, the Canon camera she has?" My response is, "Well, the problem with that is it's stuck on that device. And there's a reason I use my mobile device. I can take a picture and share it with my network, or I can watch others. Or the same with video." That's really been the what I would call the revolutionary shift of mobile from a communication standpoint, whether it's verbal communication or you know, communication through static images being photos and such. Or now with video. Still early, I believe, but, you know, going to be, you know, quite impressive, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, I'm still on 3G, which is, it's a real pain, because I actually get to see how, you know, the kind of the opposite of whatever the argument is. So we might come out and say, well, this is the year for this, and I'm actually someone who is in working in this space, but might not have the, you know, the top of the line hardware or software, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly well aware of the capabilities of everything else, but I'm also kind of able to see what the consumer, the average everyday consumer, if they have a mobile device, maybe their smartphone, iPhone, Android is 2 or 3 years old. I have a Droid X2, and it's running Jelly Bean, but it's not 4G compatible. It's not ready to kind of take as many quick photos as a brand new iPhone or Android or whatever, and I find myself really I would love to kind of interact with a lot more of the rich content that I kind of like project companies doing, and yet here I am stuck with a device that is limited by just technology kind of surpassing it. And I mean, I'm not like sitting here crying about it, because I want to be able to, you know, do it for, I want to be able to, like, when I finally get it, like, I'll be very excited, because then I'll be able to participate better in the social channels of Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the actual hardware. It's about what do you see with it. But, you know, I don't take as many pictures as maybe I would if my camera was a lot faster, and I certainly don't take any videos with it. And when I need to record a conversation for business or, you know, in a meeting, I take my iPad with me, because I'm not going to take my phone, because I don't trust the audio recording. Mm-hmm. So all the different hardware specs kind of come into the same idea of the, you know, the LTE and the 4G and the 3G like carrier speeds. I'm interested to see where we go from 4G. I mean, obviously it would be, I guess, 5G if you're watching the Ozzy Osbourne commercial, but but also it's just to kind of see, like, you know, when does everybody catch up? Because when does everybody, like, when does then 4G become the baseline?
Two years. Think about it. How often do people usually renew their phone?
2 years.
There you go.
That's what In America, it's a little bit less than 22 months.
Yeah.
And the UK is just about 23 months. But those are the two countries that recycle their devices as quickly as anybody else in the world. So mm-hmm. It's always going to be America and England, United Kingdom. Those are the two countries to always keep an eye on in terms of, you know, new hardware, new devices.
Well, even think about let's take Verizon, for example, which is, you know, allows a person on LTE to, on an iOS device to FaceTime and not be connected to Wi-Fi. Whereas my wife has a iPhone 4S, but she cannot, you know, FaceTime, but it has to do with the network speed. So the networks are building out, you know, ramping for that. And so, I mean, all FaceTime is a personal video with family. Someone who, you know, who's in my contact list, you know. So VSnap is the exterior version of that. Whereas, yeah, I may not have, you know, Trish in my personal contacts on my mobile device, but, you know, she and I could, you know, respond back and forth via video on kind of an external, non-private, you know, contact level, having my email or say mobile phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, we're at, you know, the 2 year to let people catch up, to let hardware catch up. You know, with the speeds and adoption, because, you know, where you and I live, even though you might have a, you know, an older mobile device, you know, we're still, you know, leading out. We're major early adopters. And this was funny. I think I saw this, a tweet last night. It might have been Mark Schaefer who had said this, and I could go back and look, but if you're somebody else watches this after, you know, comment down in the comments, let me know if I got this right. But he mentioned about how pervasive during the Grammys and the people who were talking about, you know, using hashtags. Or think about the Super Bowl ads who had hashtag and they were all unique. And it still said, you know, some of the numbers are that maybe 10%-ish or so of Americans are using Twitter. And my response is, if that's the case, then there is a very influential 10% in early adopters. Imagine as we move forward, when people begin to realize that Twitter is not a fad and whatever social media, you know, platform of choice you'd like, that it's not a fad, that, you know, the way in which we're communicating and sharing content, creating content, and interacting. And content, I guess, more of a marketing play, but it's just the way in which we communicate. It's a worn out ism, but it will never be the same again. Things have drastically changed.
Yeah, right. I mean, absolutely. Twitter is the three big ones. Now, Google Plus being the second, you know, king of users, mm-hmm. After Facebook. Twitter has, you know, a lot smaller user base, but the user base that's on there is very active, and they're very, as you were saying, very influential. And it's very interesting to kind of see just how much the people that are on Twitter, how much they do, and how much they what they've caused, what kind of, you know, revolution, as you would put it, what they've kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
Just for my last question, so how about the business function of mobile video? There were a few questions about the conversion factors for VSnap. According to VSnap, they're boasting about a 47% open rate for their VSnap. And then of those 47% that do open, there's about a 43% of those users that download the attached files that come with the VSnaps. So they're very interesting numbers, but what needs to happen before we start seeing greater adoption in leveraging mobile video for sales?
It's a great question. Whatever we can do to eliminate the cold call, I am completely for it.
Me too.
You know, honestly, in this day and age, with where social has come over the last, we're creeping a decade, right, with Facebook and 0203 early on. I get, you know, the other platforms aren't as mature yet. But for somebody to have to make a cold call and know nothing about, say, if somebody wanted to pitch me, you know, I am everywhere. I mean, there's lots of ways you could find me. Or the same if I wanted to connect with someone else. You know, I'm not going to just pick up the phone and start, you know, dialing for dollars. And I think that could be the hope for a video version of what, you know, VSnap is doing. You know, you could have an introduction, know about someone and say, I have this particular product or service. And I, you know, our current customers X, Y, and Z are finding it very influential. And if you're open, would love to take, you know, 15 minutes either in a Google Plus Hangout or on a video Skype call or whatever, and just connect and show you our product and service. That would be very, very fun way in which to use video productively and effectively for businesses.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm all for eliminating cold calls whenever you can. Warm leads are always the best leads.
Yeah, and in many ways, think about what we're doing now, right? So, you know, we're not doing this on, you know, we're using this on a social platform. It's one of the reasons I really am liking Google Plus more and more. It's giving me a lot of the platforms that I love, which is, trust me, I love Twitter. It's like a big, fast subway train. But it misses some of this, you know, one-on-one video we're doing. I mean, think about if I had a business, had people spread everywhere. I mean, you could do team meetings with Hangouts, and you can create a private group in which to share conversations and content. And in many ways, I would love for this to become, even our own companies, we move forward and we're in different markets, you know, a way in which we can communicate back and forth together, but not even have to use email. You know, because the reality with email is it tells you what's most, you know, most current, not what is most important. And so using platforms like this, so Facebook is nice, there's, you know, the conversation back and forth, but it misses the video play. You know, and it's stuff full of ads and everybody, you know, take your, you know, pick on that. At least Google Plus at the moment is not filled full of ads. And I hope if Vic Gundotra and all the people who built this thing, please don't stick ads on this thing. If so, you know, all of us who whine and complain about a free product are going to whine and complain about a product having, you know, selling ad on it. So we're loving the product, Google, so please leave us alone. Don't break this, okay? And we'll keep using this for a long time.
Ever since my conversation with Lynette Young, and you can go back on truevoicemedia.com/resources and find the episode, or you can search iTunes for Social Echoes, Lynette Young. Ever since our conversation, I've been using Google Plus way more, ever since she kind of told me about a lot of the different search nuggets, the benefits, the indexing, things I probably should have known anyway, but it took that little bit of the wake-up call to go ahead and just start using Google Plus the proper way. But I appreciate Lynette Young, and of course I appreciate you, Patrick, and the regular feature that we'll be doing with much more mobile, from mobile chat and Social Echoes. Thanks a lot for joining me, buddy.
Cheers, friend. Love it. You know, anytime I could talk about mobile, it's a great day, whether it's, you know, snowing outside your window or sunshiny out mine. Mobile's a fun topic.
Absolutely. Where can people go to be social with you?
You can find me here on Google Plus. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Marketing Musing. I have all kinds of places to find me. Very, very easy guy to find, and love to respond. I mean, that's why I use social. For me, it's more about relationships, you know, in the very beginning, less about business.
Cool. And where can people find more about mobile chat?
Mobile chat, best place, go to Twitter, throw in hashtag mobile chat. It's live. We do live Q&A on Wednesday evenings from 9 till 10 p.m. And our upcoming guest on Wednesday, on February the 13th, is at Charisse to discuss about conversion rates and how, you know, with the mobile revolution and the way in which people are consuming content, you know, how can you make sure that your content is mobile ready in a way that's easily convertible?
Yeah, mobile chat is an excellent way to get your feet wet in the mobile space or to expound upon the knowledge that you already have. That's going to do it for the first episode of Much More Mobile. I am John Steyer. You can find more episodes of Social Echoes on our website, truevoicemedia.com/socialechoes, the True Voice Media podcast series, or head over to iTunes and search Social Echoes. If you've enjoyed some of the past interviews or guests, we'd love to hear your feedback. Please leave a review and give us a rating, good, bad, or indifferent. It just gives us an idea of how you're liking the show and what other topics you'd like to hear us discuss. Same goes for mobile. Same goes for Social Echoes 3M, Much More Mobile. If you have an idea or you want to hear us talk about a specific topic, you can email me, jon@truevoicemedia.com. That's john@truevoicemedia.com. We will see you guys next time with more Much More Mobile from Social Echoes and Mobile Chat. Thanks a lot, Patrick, and we'll see you guys later.
Thanks. Cheers.